Hello, everybody, and welcome to the WDW Main Street Podcast. This podcast is being brought to you by Elite Vacation Homes. If you need a home for your next Disney or Universal vacation, contact Elite Vacation Homes at elitevacationhomes.com. Show's also being brought to you by American Tourist Travel. Let us book your next Disney vacation, Universal vacation, or any other vacation you can dream of at americantouristtravel.com. Show's also being brought to you by Scooter Vacations. If you need a scooter for Disney World, Universal Studios, or anywhere else in the Central Florida area, contact Scooter Vacations at scootervacations.com. And our last sponsor is David's Vacation Club Rentals. If you want to stay at the Boardwalk, the Yacht and Beach Club, the Wilderness Lodge, the Animal Kingdom, Old Key West, Saratoga, you know them all, guys. Contact David's Vacation Club Rentals at dvcrentals.com. And now on with the show. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the WDW Main Street Podcast, show number 171. How you doing this week, Dan? Pull up a stool.
Hey, Doug, how you doing? Great, great. Feeling wonderful and looking forward to talking some Disney with our listeners this week.
I can't wait. We're going to get a couple drinks here. We're going to do a little bit of news, and then we're going to do the Land of the Misfit Attractions, the top 10 of the ones, all the ones that didn't fit into all the other categories.
Yeah, that always title reminds me of Was It a Year Without a Santa Claus, where they drop all the toys off on the island there and nobody wants them.
That, and also, yeah, exactly, it is. And then also a Toy Story, when they all get dropped off at the daycare.
There you go, right, right.
So, yeah. You want to hop right into the news, my friend?
Yeah, a couple things this week, nothing too earth-shattering or anything like that, but there was a new rendering that gave a first look at the new STK Orlando restaurant coming to Disney Springs later this year, and looks like the architecture on this building is beautiful. I mean, if it looks anything like this, I mean, they still got a lot of construction to go, because I didn't see anything that looks anything like this rendering down there. So maybe just the structural steel and the stuff was there and it just doesn't look like this, but it looks beautiful. But anyways, it's going to be the largest STK location yet at 14,000 square feet, and will feature the only rooftop dining option in Disney
Springs.
Can't
wait for that. I'm going to be eating some steak up on the roof. Steak and potatoes, baby.
Yeah. I can't really tell how it's situated. I don't know.
It's going to be
picture.
It's going to be in the old spot where the old Comedy Warehouse used to be.
So across the street, if you will. So it's not necessarily on the waterfront then.
No, that's probably why they're doing the rooftop look, so you can actually see out into the water.
Which makes all the sense in the world, and that's very smart on their part. Like, so everything that comes on that side of the street maybe will be built up a little higher, so you can see out into the or onto the water. That makes perfect sense.
Yeah, it looks a bit beautiful, and I mean, everybody who knows Pleasure Island knows where the Comedy Warehouse used to be, and
right.
And that's a pretty big spot there. I'm looking forward to this restaurant. I am so looking forward. I think I'm looking more forward to Downtown Disney. The Disney Springs and anything else on my next trip.
Yeah, there's just so, I mean, every day we're hearing about, you know, something opening, or we're seeing, like we just talked about, an artist rendering, and all these things that were kept under wraps. It just seems like every week there are little droplets of information are coming out. And like we said, I mean, by year's end, they're going to be pretty close to being done. I mean, you know, most of the buildings will be, or the structures will be there, and you know, many of the eateries and shops and stuff are already opened now. So you're right. I mean, I think you could spend a couple of days here and nights easy on a vacation down there and explore around and see all this great new stuff.
I can't wait to just go in the parking garage and check out all the technology in there and park my car.
Right.
That's what a geek I am. I can't wait to just drive through the parking garage.
Yeah, no, I am getting excited about it. Now that things are actually opening up and stuff, it's awesome. So looking forward to it.
Is just so I know, is Star Wars weekend still going on down there?
Yes, they are.
This I'm being facetious.
Yeah, no, I know. The news is covered with it. And what is it, 5 weekends, I think it goes? And I think we're into the third, so we had a couple more weeks to go. Is it the fourth already?
Yeah.
Yeah, time flies when you're having fun with Star Wars, right?
Yeah. Thank God I'm not. No, I wish I was there. I really do. Just wouldn't be there.
Right. You'd be at one of the other parks.
So
there you go. Let's see. Opening day set for Starbucks at Disney's Animal Kingdom. The fourth and final in-park Starbucks at Walt Disney World will be opening on June 18th, which is right around the corner. So all those Starbucks fans that have been waiting, probably not going to the Animal Kingdom because they can't get a Starbucks like the other three parks, can now do that. I'm only kidding. That wouldn't be a reason.
No, but my wife's so happy about this, and I am too, because I get her that iced coffee in the morning. It's happy times for me.
Yeah. Then you can do the do all the trails and walk around and enjoy the Animal Kingdom.
Oh, she gets her Starbucks. She's ready to go. She just holds that glass, and wherever I want to go, she just walks along as long as she has her iced coffee.
Right. Yeah, kind of tied to this piece of information, Pizza Safari at Disney's Animal Kingdom. I guess the way they're going to do this is as soon as Starbucks opens, simultaneously, Pizza Safari will discontinue breakfast service and just go to lunch and dinner as they used to. So that'll be a change if you've been accustomed to eating breakfast there over the last year or 18 months or however long it's been. Well, this has been, as Starbucks is being built, just a little change there. So Starbucks will be open for your breakfast needs.
Absolutely. I don't even consider Pizza Safari as a breakfast spot anyway. So I think it'll be an easy adaptation to go over and grab your breakfast at Starbucks.
Yes, you're absolutely right. That was just a temporary thing, and it was just, you know, they needed to put something in that on that side of the park as far as a breakfast offering. So it made sense, served its purpose, and now it will close. let's see.
Friend.
Yeah. Just a piece of information that we mentioned, I believe, on last week's show, but a little bit more information. The NBA experience at Walt Disney World Resort has been announced for Disney Springs, as we had said. And what I didn't know, or what I didn't understand at the time when I had mentioned this news item, is that the one that's at Universal, which is the one I remember going to years ago, it is closing. So, I had thought that they were going to have a location at both Universal and Disney, but according to the information that I'm looking at here, the one at Universal will be closing and the new one at Disney Springs will be opening. So, I don't know what happened there, whether the contract was up between Universal and the NBA and they put it out on the street to bid and Disney just outbid them. I don't know what the circumstances were, but I'm happy to have the NBA store under the Disney umbrella, if you will, down at Disney Springs.
And I'll even go a step further. I think it has more to do with that the NBA is on ESPN now, and if you notice, the finals are on ABC.
Oh, that probably has a huge role in it then. I didn't even think of that.
Yeah, that's what I just popped in my head, actually, but that's what I'm thinking, because the finals, ABC, part of sport, you know, ESPN now, I'm thinking they signed some kind of contract and now they have everything to do with the NBA.
Yeah, it was probably part of a whole package and that was in the fine print or something, you know, that way down below. Oh yeah, and we're putting the NBA store at Disney Springs, who knows?
Yeah, well, Universal's NBC.
So it makes sense. It makes perfect sense.
That's probably what happened. So the whole ball of wax goes to Disney now.
Yeah, and I mean, I know you mentioned it when we talked about this before. I mean, you know, I'm not a huge NBA fan. I mean, I root for my local team here, obviously. But, you know, I'd prefer it to be a baseball, certainly football. But, you know, again, it's something different. It's something, you know, new and exciting that's coming to the Disney Springs. So I'm in favor of it. And I think you even mentioned, you know, you probably won't buy anything there, but it'd be cool to go through and just see what they have to offer. And I'm sure it'll be more than just a storefront and, you know, a bunch of retail stuff. I'm hoping they do something cool out front. I can't remember what the front of the store looked like at Universal. Was it like a big hoop out front, or they had some sort of big icon, as I remember, but I just can't remember exactly what it was.
No, I don't remember either. I think it was the big basketball with the hoop behind it, but
yeah,
I could be wrong. But me, I grew up as a big time baller. I played basketball, you know, 6-7 nights a week. We traveled, we played everywhere. I played high school. I love basketball. It's just my Sixers have been absolutely horrible since they got rid of Allen. So it's been kind of hard. That's why I'm saying there's nobody even on the team right now that I would buy his jersey.
Yeah, I mean, not to get into a basketball conversation, but, you know, in the NBA, it's so hard to turn a team around. I mean, unless the ping pong balls fall correctly in a year where there's a premier player, a franchise-changing player, you can wallow around in, sub-500 ball for 20 years,
easy. You got to lose on purpose the way the salary cap is, but we've gotten lucky. We've had two pretty good picks. You know, with Noah, and then we got the third pick this year, which I'm hoping they're going in the right direction. But right now, there's nobody. We got Embiid and Noah, and then we got this year's draft pick. So three number one picks.
Right.
But until you see them start to make progress, there's none of them that I'm crazy about yet.
Right. And, you know, as we all know, you don't know when the next Michael Jordan is coming around or Kobe Bryant. I mean, when they were first drafted, yeah, they were high picks or at least well-renowned.
Jordan was the third pick in the draft. He went behind Steve Bowie.
Right. But, I mean, again, we're not going to get a basketball discussion here, but we've also seen many a number one picks that 3-4 years later they're out of the league. So it doesn't guarantee you anything. It's a name, you know, maybe a great college player, but we've all seen college players not translate to the NBA very well.
But I'm looking forward to the store. It ought to be a, you know, I can't wait. I can't wait to see all of Disney Springs. I'm geeked out over it. So
I agree.
And the other thing is, which I don't know if it means anything to us then, but I mean, the Disney chief financial officer, Jay Rizzullo, is set to resign in the end of June. I mean, the only thing I read about that was he was supposed to be the successor to Bob Iger, but that never happened. So now he's deciding to step down. He's going to be like an advisor now since they hired, what was it, Tony Skaggs?
So
after they hired Staggs, it put a bad taste in Rizzuto's mouth, and that's the way Rizzullo's mouth. That's the way I got it. So he's resigning.
Yeah, usually when this happens, they're just giving him a golden parachute. He'll be gone. He'll end up at some other Fortune 500 company, I'm sure. Yeah. But
around for 2 years, so that's why he's saying he's advisor, so he can't take these top secrets anywhere else.
Yeah, well, again, they all sign disclosure statements when they get hired, and regardless of how long they're there, they can't bring any of that stuff with them, at least legally anyways.
So that's about it for this week's news. You got anything else, my friend?
No, I'm good.
Okay. And one little piece of news from the WDW Main Street podcast.
Uh-oh.
This Wednesday, me, Dennis, and Bob from All In WDW is going to have the first annual Walt Disney World Fantasy League Draft. So stay tuned for that, guys. The first episode of that series will be released on Wednesday. So WDW and All In, the WDW Main Street and All In WDW Walt Disney World Fantasy Park Draft will be on Wednesday. So stay tuned for that, guys.
Wow, that's a mouthful.
Yes, it was. Where do they hear the draft?
Oh, I'm looking forward to this. I mean, I got my calculator out. I got my my bean counter here. I'm grinding through all these attractions and resorts. And, boy, this is going to be quite an ordeal.
Yeah, me, Dennis, and Bob are all going to build a park. And then we're going to post everything. And you guys can vote on it and see whose park you like the best so far. We're going to have a good time with this.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. We've a lot of homework going into this one, but I'm looking forward to recording the show soon, and then, like you said, for a mid-week release next week.
And on another note, so we don't forget, we want to thank you guys. We've gotten more reviews on iTunes. We really appreciate that. And any of you guys can go over and please give us a little review over there. We'd really greatly appreciate it. Don't you agree, Dan?
Yeah, we've seen some movement there, and again, I echo your comments. Doug, I was going to say Bob. you would have went crazy. In all seriousness, yes, we cherish each and every one of those, and they are precious, and they're hard to get, And I know every podcast, because I listen to many of them and enjoy many of them, they all ask for the same thing. So, you know, it's not just us asking for, you know, 2 to 3, 4 minutes of your time. But those that did it, thank you. And those that have been thinking about it, please do it. We'd appreciate it. It just helps us move up the rankings and helps people find us easier so that we can bring enjoyment to more listeners like you.
That's it, guys. Please go over there. So let's get on with this then. We're going to do the Land of the Misfit Attractions, the final 10.
This is going to be good. All right.
There were 17 we had total. We rounded them to the top 10 before we got on the air. And then we also want to put a shout out to, we forgot Goofy's Barnstormer in the coasters and track ride. So sorry, Goofy, but your Barnstormer is good, but it wouldn't have made our top 10 anyway. But we don't want anybody saying we forgot the Barnstormer because I like Goofy.
Right, right. No, I agree, and again, it just slipped my mind, and that's one I never did ride that. Have you ridden the Barnstormer, or the former Barnstormer?
Yeah, I've read it. I read it. It was a great
read
book.
Read it, wrote it?
I wrote it a couple times with my godson, Jimmy.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, you know, back in the day, back when Mickey's Toontown was still there. I haven't wrote it since it moved over to the new Fantasyland.
I mean, I always just viewed it as a kiddie roller coaster. I'm assuming that's what it is.
It is, but out of all the kiddie rides, it probably was the coolest.
The most intense for an adult, would you say?
Yeah, you giggle a little bit. It ain't like being on the teacups or something like that.
Right.
You're like, please make it stop.
Right.
I actually enjoyed myself with them. That's why I went on a second time.
Oh.
You didn't have to fight me to do it again on that trip.
Right.
So, but, you know, the teacups, no, never again.
Okay, that's all good. At least we made amends, and you know, there were probably a few people out there screaming, "What about the Barnstormer?" So there it is.
Yeah, and like I said, I misspoke. We had 18, not 17. So I'm going to count them down for you guys, and then me and Dan will go back and forth on 10.
All right.
So what we have is 18 is the Primeval Whirl, which we both hate. Do I agree, Dan?
Yeah, I've never been on it.
No, and I refuse to because Disney didn't make it. Number 17 is the Triceratops Spin.
Never been on it.
And won't, but it's that's okay. It's basically Dumbo with dinosaurs.
Right, right.
Number 16 is what I just spoke of, the Mad Tea Party.
Never been on it.
Number 15 is Magic Carpets with Aladdin. You ever been on that?
No, I haven't.
Okay. Okay, where am I at? Number 14 was the Tomorrowland Speedway.
That I've been
that?
On. Oh, yeah, yeah.
I like that because it was one of the originals, but I haven't been on it. I can't even remember the last. I think it was with Jimmy, too.
Yeah, it's one of those things. If I walk by and I saw it was 10 minutes, I'd jump on it, but it seems to always have a massive line, so I just blow by it. I mean, I'd do it if it was convenient, but other than that, I don't look to do it.
Now, number 13 is Astral Orbiter. Have you ever done that?
No, I have not.
We've done that, and it's a hike getting up there. I did that again with my godson and my brother-in-law.
Right.
It's okay. One and done for me.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of heights, so that's what, regardless of how good or bad the actual ride or attraction is, I wouldn't do it just on those grounds alone.
And then we made number 12 was the Swiss Family Treehouse, which I really enjoy that. It gives you a workout. Just don't take on a hot day, don't take a Dole Whip up there and give yourself a heart attack like I did.
Yeah, I remember that story you told. I figured that's why you put that close to the making the top 10, because of your experience there with woofing down the Dole Whip and then almost going into cardiac arrest.
Yeah, well, me and Brenda, we do this every once in a while. I like the hike up there. I like it's something different. It's
right.
Especially in the winter months. It's nice. It's a nice hike when it's cool out. You don't mind it as much. Middle of summer and a storm in the middle of the day. You know what I mean? It's not not that much fun climbing. And then number 11, which just missed out, was Cinderella's Golden Carousel.
Okay.
Which, I mean, that's another park icon, so you kind of got to love that. And plus, all the horses came from New Jersey.
you think you're pulling one over my eyes here. You added that one in since we spoke earlier this evening.
Yes, it's why it's
not, okay.
No, we had 18 and not 17.
Yeah. Man. Okay, I was wondering where you were going with this because I said, wow, this might screw up our top 10. But all right, I'm with you, buddy.
No, I got to add in Cinderella's Golden Carousel. That's one of the icons of the park.
Right.
I mean, every time we go there, a lot of times we've only rode it a couple times, but me and Brent, for some reason, I like to just sit down on one of the benches there and watch it go around. It's relaxing with a drink or something to snack on.
Yeah, actually, I'm not to correct you here, but it's not Cinderella's. Remember they renamed it to the Prince? It's the Prince's Carousel now, and I can't remember his name.
It's always Cinderella to me. Prince Charming.
Yeah, I think it's Prince Charming's Grand Carousel or something like that now.
To me, it'll always be Cinderella's.
I know, but I'm just saying. Try to get the name right if we can.
Okay, buddy.
All right.
But it is a nice ride. It's a relaxing ride. It's an icon of the park. So it deserved to be on the list.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
So let's start with your number 10, my good friend.
Okay, number 10 for me. This is the top 10 misfit attractions. Number 10 for me is the Tower of Terror.
Ooh.
Yeah, I mean, this is a very, very popular attraction for many, and I suspect even for you, but we'll see. This is one I've never gone on, and like I said, I'm sure if I did, I'd love it, and I know you've coached me to at least go through the queue line and then go into the gift shop and all that stuff, which is on my bucket list, and I will do that. But like I said, I don't do well with heights and all that stuff, and, I'm not even worried about getting a sour stomach or that queasy feeling. I go on elevators all the time. I'm not afraid of elevators, but it's just something that I've never got enough courage up to actually go on.
Well, I understand that. And me, with my back issues and all that, like, I don't have a horrible back, touch on wood, but with me doing construction, walking on stilts, everything that I do, I have overdeveloped muscles in my back. So it don't take long for my back, don't take much for my back to tighten up.
Right.
So getting that jolt up and down. My wife tries to keep me off it just because she's worried that it's going to ruin the whole vacation for one ride.
Right.
But that came in at number 5 for me. One, just because it's a great ride, but two, the whole iconicness of the building, the tower itself. And like I told you, even if you don't ride it, just do yourself a favor and go in there and roam around and check out the inside, because just the whole atmosphere in that ride and the architecture and how all the, if you walk in there, all the elevator operators just creep you out.
Right.
So it's just fun roaming around in there. Even if you're not going to go on the ride, you can still enjoy yourself with the gift shop and everything. It's one of the better gift shops on property.
Right. No, I will do that. I definitely will do that. And, looking forward to it, actually.
Well, number 10 for me was Dumbo.
Okay.
And the reason it was 10 is just because I did it once with my godson when he was, young.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, and I like the way they redeveloped Gumbo with the whole circus, the whole nine yard, Dumbo, like what I call him, Gumbo?
Gumbo, yeah. I thought you said Gumbo. I was going to say, maybe I didn't hear that right.
I want soup. But no, the way they redid the whole Dumbo ride with the dueling Dumbos and all,
right.
It's just another thing, like I said, about the carousel. That's why 11, 10, whatever. They're so iconic that it had to be in our top 10 Dumbo, and it's really one of the most popular rides. That's why they had to make another one.
Yeah, I mean, this is, again, an attraction you'll often see on Disney literature or park maps or something like that. I mean, you see that Dumbo, you know it's Disney World. Again, this is one we've never gone on, only because by the time we started going to Disney World, our kids were kind of, a little older, and it wasn't something they would be caught dead on. So, in my view, it's not an adult ride, although I've seen many adults on it.
Where did you list it at?
I'm sorry. It was number 8 for me.
Okay, just for the iconicness of it.
Yeah. I mean, it definitely had to make the top 10 in my view as well. And I don't have anything against it. It is what it is. And, I've gone on those type rides, years ago when local carnivals or whatever came through town. And maybe they aren't quite as...
you don't
elaborate.
Feel as safe on them either, and they are a little more herky-jerky. Like, this ride is like riding the Cadillac of them.
Right, but I mean, it's the same thing. It's just a fixed vehicle on a pole, if you will, that goes up and down. And
it has an arm that reaches out and moves you.
Exactly.
Basically, Dumbo, Triceratops Spin, and the Magic Carpet of Aladdin are all the same ride with different icons at the end of the arm.
Yeah, different ride vehicle. The same ride vehicle, but yeah, different iconic looks, whether it's a carpet, an elephant, or what else did you say? A dinosaur, right?
Yeah. But they're just classic, you know, they're, like you said, classic carnival rides that are a little bit, the whole atmosphere around them is 1,000 times better because they're fixed. They're not just pulled up on the back of a truck. They're beautiful.
Yeah, well, and they're fixed, and they also represent an iconic character from a beloved Disney movie, if you will. So, I mean, that in itself, it has a theme to it. It's not just like I said, a local carnival might just have a you know, just a plain old ride vehicle. I mean, it is Dumbo, and
the lines aren't that long the next time you go there, you and your wife should go up on it. Because know what's pretty cool about it?
What's that?
You do get some really neat views, vantage points around the park.
Yeah. Have you gone on it since the dueling Dumbos have gone into effect?
No, and I think I'm going to drag Brenda on it next time. I was going to do it this time, but we had Donna with us. So I'm going to make her go on a third one. But I thought it would be pretty cool just to do it.
Now, let me ask you, maybe you don't know. I mean, do two people fit in a ride vehicle?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
They're big enough
very
to get
easily. Absolutely.
People.
Very
All right.
easily.
All right. I wasn't sure.
It'll be fun. Go act like a goofball.
Hey, if you can walk around with a goofy hat with big ears down there, you can certainly go on Dumbo, right?
Exactly.
Nobody's going to look at you twice.
Especially get the Fast Pass for it.
I don't know if I'd burn a Fast Pass
but
on
it's,
Dumbo.
But it's a third tier.
Oh, okay.
You understand what I'm saying? If it's a lower tier, because it does switch up here and there depending on the times of the season. But yeah, if it's a third tier or something, grab a Dumbo one because you never did it and just hop on it with the bride. You'll have some fun, you'll giggle, and you'll never forget it. Take a couple selfies.
Sounds good.
Number 9 for you, my good friend.
Number 9 for me is Mission Space over at Epcot. Beautiful building, love the look of the building, and I think I've only gotten as close as about 40 yards from this attraction. Never been in it, never been on it.
Well, it came in for number 9 for me too, and I've been on it. I went on it the time because I was with the boys. I got the peer pressure from my brother-in-law, my godson. My wife got mad at me because after the people dying on it, she never wanted me going on it, so she kind of got mad because she found out we came back that we had did it.
Right.
We had did it or done it. I'm speaking gooder English than everybody tonight, man. But anyway, I'm glad I went on it, but I'm not in no hurry to ever do it again.
Right.
It was cool, but it was cool, but it was kind of disappointing to me. They thought it was the greatest thing ever. It was okay. It wasn't the greatest thing that everybody was saying. Like, the technology to me wasn't as good as I thought it was going to be.
Right.
It's hard to explain. You'd have to do it, but I know you're telling me you won't.
No.
But I mean,
never.
Not even the green, dude, because I did both, because we did it that night a couple times. I did the green and the – I wouldn't even do the green again because I even got a little motion sick on that. And the fun that the ride has for me doesn't outweigh the getting sick and ruining my night.
Right, and I think with some people, I'll just speak to myself. I mean, even if the green wouldn't get you sick, I think psychologically, knowing that you got sick going on this attraction before, you might just psych yourself up into getting sick, if you know what I mean.
Well, what happened to me? Yeah, you're right. What happened to me is I got to be a wise butt on it, and they tell you don't take your eyes off the screen. And I'm feeling great the whole ride, ha ha ha. So all of a sudden, I start joking with my godson. Take my eyes off, and then next thing you know, the whole stomach's flipping sideways. So
that'll teach you.
But like you said, the building is gorgeous. It looks great sitting over there. It fits like a glove at Epcot, but it's not my favorite either.
And like we said, it's a shame because that, you know, is an e-ticket attraction, and Disney thought that it was going to eat up a lot more people than it does, and it kind of unbalances, you know, with Soarin' being so strong on the other side of the park, it doesn't do its job as far as being the people eater that it should be.
Oh, absolutely. It doesn't. It doesn't at all. I mean, I won't say never, but there's hardly ever a major wait time over there. I think they make the wait time seem longer trying to make the attraction seem more enticing to go on.
Right. And, you know, we've said this before. I mean, they spent so many millions of dollars to build that, and it's, as Disney attractions goes, a fairly new attraction. So I can't imagine they would, you know, do anything with it or, you know, take it out and put something else in. So I think that's going to be there for quite some time.
No, I'll tell you right now, it's probably not going to be drafted in my draft. Did I say that out loud? So I'm up to number 8. Number 10 for you was Tower of Terror. Number 9 was Mission Space. Number 8 was Dumbo for you.
Correct.
Number 8 for me is Cali River Rapids.
Okay.
Let me put it this way. I really like this ride a lot. It's almost on the verge of I love this ride. But the problem with this ride is everything with you and your family and everything else, it has to be the perfect timing, the perfect day for you to go on this ride because it's so uncomfortable to get that soaked.
Oh, absolutely, and I echo your comments exactly. If taking weather and temperature and time of day out of the equation, great attraction, love it, love it. It's you know, it's just thrilling enough to, you know, be exhilarating, but you know, it's not too over the top. But I mean, who wants to be soaking wet and then walk around a theme park all day? Or if you go in the winter months, who wants to have, you know, goosebumps all day because you're chilled? Or who wants to have to go back to your resort if you're at the Animal Kingdom? Because as we know, that's in the outreaches of the Walt Disney World property, and it takes a good bit of time to do that. So,
Well, it is at the Animal Kingdom Lodge and the resort are right next to each other, but you're still
right.
right. If this was at my resort, I'd go on it multiple times a day.
Right.
I could just walk back to my room and get changed.
It's almost like it would do better at one of the water parks if they move the attraction. So, you know, hey, if you're in your trunks and you plan on swimming for the day and you know, you're geared up for that, this would be perfect because I have gone on this, yeah, probably, I don't know, half a dozen times over the years, and you know, I'm always the guy that gets soaked. I mean, I've come off of this just sopping wet. I mean, my sneakers were squish, 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 squish when I walked away. I mean, it was that bad. So, I mean, you can get through. I mean, if you want to play,
Poncho.
say that. No. Yeah, you can wear a poncho on there, but I was going to say Russian roulette, but I did.
Yeah.
You know, I've also gone on it and come through with just a couple of drops of water on me. It's all how that ride vehicle, which basically is a big inner tube with seats in it and a little more elaborate, but depending on where you spin and where the water jets are when you go down the big hill, you could get totally soaked, or like I said, maybe not wet at all.
I mean, the best time to go on this ride, to be honest with you, is, and I've been on it multiple times too, is if you can get on it in like January, December, January, or February, when they have, because it works the same way a lot of it as Splash Mountain does. They turn down the water cannons, they adjust it so you don't get as soaked. The sprayers are adjusted so you don't get as soaked in the wintertime. So if you can get there in February and say it's like an 85 or 90 degree day, it's a perfect ride to go on because you're not going to get that wet.
Right. And, you know, no, I agree. I agree. And that's a great, great tip. But the other thing is, too, I mean, even if it's 98 degrees and it's, you know, 100% humidity on that day, we all know you get on some of those Disney buses. Let's say you're staying at Riverside. If you're soaked to the bone in your t-shirt and, you know, whatever you happen to be wearing that day, man, that can be an awful chilly ride going back to your resort on those buses when they have the AC cranked.
Exactly, and it's just uncomfortable that soaking wet. So, I mean, I just don't like my feet soaked, and I don't wear Crocs, I don't wear sandals, I wear sneakers usually. So my sneakers get soaked, my feet are soaked. Not just that, you got to give your wallet to your wife because Brenda won't go on it. She don't want to get soaked.
Right.
You know, so I'm usually, the times I've gone in has been with other family members been with me. So you're basically handing half your stuff to you, make sure the camera don't get wet or get the locker or blah, blah,
Right,
blah.
right.
That's why I said if you can, a good tip if you want to try this ride is the January, December, February, if it's a nice 80, 90 degree day, 85, whatever, they have all the water jets down because they don't adjust them by the daily temperature. They adjust it by the season for the most part.
Right.
So you're not going to get that soaked.
Right. And then the other thing is, if you do escape the big drop, not the big drop, but the hill that, the biggest hill there that kind of gets you going, when you get to the end of the attraction, there's some like footbridges that go over the river, the Cali River. Yeah, and the wise guy kids are up there, and if they happen to pick you out and they don't like you, or maybe it's a family member that didn't go on, they can blast you with the water cannon too.
Yeah.
So you still might get wet, even if you escape the water on the drop itself.
Yeah, and I even think them in the middle of winter, they shut them down.
I do.
Where did that come in for you?
Cali River Rapids was number 5 for me. And like I said, I made the pick and put it in my top 10 based on how I liked the attraction. I took out all the weather issues and everything we just talked about. But just the attraction itself, if it was in a vacuum and perfect conditions, it came in at number 5 on my list.
Yeah, the story's good with the fire along the shore, the rip breaking. It's a good ride.
Yep.
Number 6 for you, Dan.
Number 6 for me was the Liberty Bell Riverboat.
I'm sorry, Dan. You need number 7. My apologies.
Okay.
7 for you.
Sorry about that. Number 7 for me is Monsters, Inc. Laflore over in Tomorrowland.
Okay.
This attraction, I mean, it deserves to be in the top 10. We used to go on it pretty much every time we went to Tomorrowland, and it got a little stale. It's all right. I think if the Pixar Place comes and that whole thing, I think you might see that leave Tomorrowland, but that's just my opinion. But it's fun. I mean, there's corny jokes and, we all know the thing, that guy, when they pick somebody in the audience and they kind of play around with that person during the whole show as the monsters are up there doing their comedy routine. But, not a bad show if it's a hot day and you want to get out of the sun. I mean, certainly better than Stitch's Great Escape, no doubt.
Absolutely.
But,
don't take much. Anything worse than that is Primeval World.
Right. Yeah, I mean, decent show. Nothing fabulous here in my mind.
That came in at number 6 for me, so we're real close on that. I don't get to go on it as much as I would like to just because my wife don't want to be that girl. That's kicked out. She worries every time we're in there. She's worrying about them asking her to answer the questions or tell the joke or, and that's not her. That's so far from her. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
And with me, I'm all ready. Pick me. It's fine. I'll make a fool of myself.
Right.
But I do enjoy. I really like the technology in there.
Yeah, I mean, I know they have that thing when you're in the queue line and you can get on your cell phone or something and you can text in jokes. And if they meet the criteria, if you will, they're clean and all that good stuff, they may use them in the show. So there is some interaction that goes on with the guests in the queue line. And, I wouldn't say laugh out loud funny, but I mean, it's pretty humorous.
I enjoyed it. Like I said, it came in for 6 for me. 7 for me was Star Tours.
Okay.
And again, I think the ride, especially the upgrade of it, I think it's really good because you have the multiple, it changes. Every time you go on it, you can get different endings and stuff like that, which I really like that. What about you?
Oh, yeah. how can I say that? I mean... When we first started going to Disney World, this was an attraction, obviously the first version, not the second one that you just mentioned, but this really blew me away anyways. I mean, the technology at the time, I mean, nowadays you might say, well, yeah, it's kind of all right, but it's just all right. But at the time when we started going many years ago, this attraction really was, in my view, probably the best attraction on property for me. I mean, you got to think back. There was no Soarin', and there was no some of these other e-attractions that we have now. So this, to me, was kind of, groundbreaking in the theme park industry, this type ride vehicle, which, if I'm not mistaken, I believe the military uses these similar I don't want to call them a ride vehicle, but they use them for training and stuff like that, simulators and stuff like that, maybe pilots. I'm not sure, but these are retrofitted, if you will, to, you know, make a theme park attraction. But, I mean, to me, with the screen, it's so lifelike. And, you know, again, now it seems kind of silly because when I go on it, I just keep my hands folded in my lap. But I can remember going on it for the first time, and I was digging my nails into the armrest there as you're going down into the, you know, into the, I don't know, the land there, wherever you are in Star Wars, because it seems so lifelike. You're looking at that screen, and you're feeling every bump, and as the, you know, rocks are hitting the windshield or whatever. I mean, it's very intense.
The meteors and all that.
Yeah. It's very, you know, again, now that I've been on it 20, 30, 40, you know, however many times I've been on it, you know, it takes some of the spontaneity away from it, if you will. But, you know, when you know, the first time you ever go on an attraction like that, man, that's pretty, it's pretty exhilarating. I thought, and I still think, and I still enjoy it to this day.
Yeah, where did that come in for you?
Star Tours was number 3 for me.
Okay, yeah, it was way up there. For me, I really liked it. Again, I'm not the Star Wars nut that you know, and you aren't either. So if it's open, it's ready to go on, I'll go on it. I get motion sick a little bit on this ride for some reason. Mm-hmm. But I do like it. I love the technology of it. I think it's one of the coolest rides on property. I mean, it's a must-do if you're going down. Especially if you're a Star Wars fan, you can't miss this. So, I mean, I highly recommend it. I like the pre-show with the TV and the stuff bouncing. It's an entertaining ride.
Yeah, and I guess what I would say is, to me, because I'm not a Star Wars fan, this could be themed to Toy Story. It could, I mean, it wouldn't probably be the same because you wouldn't have the same world to work in, if you will. But, I mean, it's less about Star Wars, and it's just how they make you feel like you're flying, like when you go through the light tunnel thing there, and they, you know, the screen's moving and stuff. It's all the effects. It really, to me, anyways, has very little to do with its affiliation with Star Wars, as crazy as that sounds. That's secondary to me. I could care less. It could be themed to, you know, pick a movie, or it could be Marvel, it could be Iron Man or something. You know what I mean? It wouldn't make it any better or worse for me. It's the actual, you know, the different
simulator
effects, yeah, that you feel. And, you know, Star Wars is secondary.
Yeah, it's cool. Like, everybody goes through, they get to see 3PO. He's an animatronic. They have different animatronics as you walk through the queue, which are, I think the queue is one of the better queues on property.
Yeah, and especially now where they're in version 2. And again, I didn't really get it the first couple of times I went on it after the refurb. But, I mean, they harken back to some of the audio animatronics from the first version. If you look down, you know, they took apart some of the droids. And, you know, again, I don't know what they're called. I mean, you know, C-3PO, like you said. But somebody was behind us in line. It sounded like they knew their Star Wars. And they were like, oh, yeah, look, there's the part that, you know, that was the, you know, the robot that used to do this. And look, at there's a, you know, so there's all kinds of but parts of the original attraction that are still in the queue line now. And I guess if you're a Star Wars geek, it's pretty cool.
Absolutely. Though they did a really great job with this queue. This is one of those ones where, like I say about the Fast Pass, if you can and the lines aren't too big, enjoy the queue on this, because it's a lot of fun. It's something you don't want to miss, especially if you are a Star Wars fan. You should check it out.
Exactly.
So number 6 for you, let me guess. Liberty Bell Riverboat.
Right. No, it's Cinderella's Golden Carriage. No, I'm only kidding. Yeah, I mean, you know, I've done this many times too. And again, in my view, this is an attraction which is, it's the big paddle boat that's in, I wanted to say Adventureland. It's not Adventureland. Yeah, Frontierland.
It's actually in Liberty Square.
Well, yeah, that's where it's docked. You're correct. Yep. But it does go down towards
through Frontierland and
exactly.
All. You get to see the Indians with the teepee and all that good stuff.
I mean, again, it's a slow-moving ride. And, again, it's nothing that's going to excite you whatsoever other than having the experience of being on a paddle boat that maybe was on the Mississippi or something like that. You know, I've done it several times, and you do – the thing I do like about it, like you said, they do have some – I don't know that they're audio animatronics, but I guess fixed figures, if you will. And there's a guy fishing out by a shack, and you know, there's some different
around
scenic...
Tom Sawyer Island.
Exactly, and I think the best part of it is you do get a kind of a unique view of the Haunted Mansion from being a little further back, so it's great for pictures for that. And like you said, it just takes you, I don't know, what would you say, maybe 20-minute loop, maybe a half hour? I don't think it's that
minutes.
Long. Yeah. And it, you know, it just gives you a view of the park from the inside out, I guess. And you see all the people walking around, and of course you see Splash Mountain and Big Thunder Mountain kind of comes close to the river's edge. And you know, it's just a nice, relaxing, you know, ride around the middle of Walt Disney World and over at the Magic Kingdom.
It's a beautiful ride. It's my brother's, I think, favorite ride, or one of his favorites in the whole park. He loves being on that riverboat.
Wow.
And it's one of the, it's relaxing. It's really cool. It's something different. Every day you don't get to go on a riverboat. And what I like is being a Disney geek, telling people it's actually on a track and they don't believe you. You know what I mean? It is.
Right.
It's actually on a track underwater, that so they don't have to worry about it ever going and hitting the land. I mean, that's a big boat.
Yeah, you're spoiling it for everyone, Doug.
Oh, stop it. I ain't spoiling nothing. But it's, you know, it's cool, though, that something that big is on a track. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I've never
it's
done this.
It's all for safety features.
Right, right. I've never done this, but I have heard that if you ask the, what are they called on a boat? The captain, I guess?
Yes.
Yeah, you can go up and they'll let you pretend you're steering the boat. And I think there's a card they give you or a sticker or some such thing. But it makes for a cool photo op. They don't do it all the time, but I have heard people have been able to go up there and there's like a big brass, you know, ship's wheel, if you will, that they'll let you stand behind and kind of play around.
Yeah, full speed ahead. You can pull the little handles and
yeah.
stuff like that. No, but that actually came in for number four for me, just because it's another one of those things like the railroad. To me, it's like nostalgic. It's cool. It's
yeah.
It's things that I'm glad that they keep the root. It's like the roots of Walt Disney World. That the carousel, all that stuff. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and kind of like the Walt Disney World Railroad. It's kind of fun when you're down in that part of the park, if you will. Even if you don't have any intention of going on it, just to see it coming around the bend or whatever, it's just like a comforting
feeling. It adds to the
feeling.
It's all atmosphere.
Exactly. You know, on a typical day, you probably wouldn't even give it a second thought, but you'll see it coming around. And again, if it wasn't there, you'd notice it, I guess, is what I'm saying. So you're right. It is a centerpiece, if you will, of Walt Disney World. It's iconic, I guess I would say, because I'm pretty sure it was there right from the beginning. And certainly there's a similar boat, I forget its name, maybe the Lily Bell or something, out in Disneyland.
The Empress Lily is the downtown one. I'm not sure what the one is in Disneyland.
Right. But anyways, I mean, those paddle boats, you know, are pretty much known for, you know, a Disney World type, you know, boat.
Yeah, well, Tom Sawyer's Island gets to enjoy it. I wish it would dock at Tom Sawyer's Island, let you off, so you didn't have to take them rafts across.
Yeah, true.
What do you got for number four, my good friend?
Number four for me is Splash Mountain. What's the matter?
That's number one for me, buddy. I think you rate it a little too low.
Well, again, I rate it low only because I'm a chicken, and you know, again, I've done this, you know, I won't say 30, 40 times like some of the other attractions, but I've probably done it a dozen times. I don't like heights, don't like drops. I realize, and because I've done it, there's beautiful scenery, the show
nighttime.
Scenes.
Oh, yeah. Nighttime. I love riding Extra Magic Hours when you come out and you see the whole park lit up. It's absolutely gorgeous.
That's what I hate. Not looking at the park, but dropping after that is what bothers me. And in fact, I get so worked up on it that I don't really enjoy the show scenes, which there are many. It's probably one of the most elaborate
it's incredible.
Audio animatronic show pieces, if you will. I mean, it just seems to go on forever and ever, the different
how
you know,
do you do
Now I really now after the drop, that's when I can enjoy everything else, because I know I'm all right and everything's good from here on out. But that they do a great job at the build up. I mean, it starts out as a, you know, pretty hokey, and you know, but of course, you know, you gotta wrestle with the big drop coming. And then when you go around that bend and the music stops, or changes, I should say, not stops, you kind of get that dark music going, and then you get up to the top and the two buzzards are there or whatever they are. And, you know, it's great. It's a great, great attraction. I could see why you have it at number one, but it's a little lower for me only because I'm a chicken.
Oh, well, mine, it comes in so high, too, because a lot of memories on it. I love all the animatronics. I mean, this ride is what I wish Expedition Everest would have been a ride-through story like this. That's why I was so bummed with Everest, because they had a blueprint kind of with Splash, what they could have did.
Right.
And I love Splash. I love watching Brer Bear and Brer Fox and Brer Rabbit. The whole story. It's like a story being told right in front of your eyes if you look at all the scenery. It's really cool.
Yeah, and, you know, those that are in the Disney history or maybe just have a passing interest, we all know that this attraction is based on the movie The Song of the South, which is not currently available for purchase or anything else in the United States, at least. But there are bootleg copies out there, and I think in some other countries they do sell them. And, you know, I don't agree with this. I saw it years ago when I was a kid, but, you know, some people claim that it has a racist tone to it. You know, and I guess, you know, back when it was shot, language and terms that were used, you know, wouldn't fit in today's society. So I get it. And I understand why Disney, you know, prefers to keep that locked away in the vault, probably never to come out. But it's a shame because a lot of people don't even realize that that was a Disney film and all those characters are from a Disney movie because they've grown up not having access to that movie.
Yeah, I just love how I feel when I get off it. I mean, when me and Jimmy did that 10 ride, just kept going, I'll never forget that forever.
Right, but I think the same could be said here. I won't speak for you. You can answer the question. But, I mean, it could almost be themed to anything. If it was themed that good, regardless, pick another movie. It isn't really your affection to Brer Fox or Brer Rat. I mean,
no, it's just all the animatronics, the song, the whole nine yards. It's just the way it was done. I mean, And when it was built, I mean, just think about all that went into that when this ride was built. I mean, they went above and beyond to make this one of the best log flumes there's ever been, in my opinion. Because you go to all these other parks, you're just going up and down hills and dropping. I mean, it's so amazing that I know it gets you, but with me, I'm so into the animatronics and stuff that I forget that the drop's coming.
Right.
'Cause I'm not worried about it. I'm looking at, I'm trying to see, like on Pirates, like every time I go on this, I'm seeing something that I've never seen before.
Right. Well, yeah. And I think, and I agree with your earlier comment, Doug. You know, this was one of the attractions that made Disney famous for what it is. I mean, they over the top. You're absolutely correct. The world had never seen such an elaborately themed attraction like that. And this is where Disney made its bones, if you will. I mean, you won't see this anywhere else in the world. Now, you know, fast forward, you know, 30 years or whatever, and going back to Disneyland, this year it's their 60th anniversary. These weren't there, you know, when the parks opened, but they've been around for some time now. I mean, you know, Universal's giving them a run for their money with some of the technology, and we've talked about this on other shows where, you know, some of the people that worked for Disney now work for Universal, and some of the, you know, I guess what I'm saying is, the technology has caught up with some of the other theme park operators or just use Universal with Harry Potter World and all that stuff. So, you know, Disney's not the only, although they're the biggest and I think they always will be, but do you know what I mean? They're not, it's not just them anymore.
No. And this right here is classic Disney.
Absolutely.
And it's a must do for anybody going down there, unless you're definitely afraid of heights, like, you know, beyond what Dennis is, but for the most part, right, you have to go on this ride.
No,
all right, then number three for yours was Star Tours.
Yeah.
So number three for me was Kilimanjaro Safari.
Okay.
And it's just a shame that it has to be three because I love it this much, but it had to go somewhere. I don't think, you know, there's not another ride like this anywhere in the United States, if you ask me, as far as this. The technology in every way they run it. I've been through other parks where they have drive-through safari and stuff like this, but this one here to me is like head and shoulders above it. And there's just something about it where you feel so safe going through this one. Where I've been through other parks where I was afraid what I was going through.
Yeah.
It's just amazing how relaxed you are going through the safari. Am I wrong?
No, you're absolutely right. I mean, I've been to Busch Gardens and different, as you had mentioned, and I've seen different, you know, attractions that are, I'm going to say similar, but not anywhere near expansive and detailed as Disney's Kilimanjaro Safari. I mean, you know, I'm in my lifetime probably never going to get to Africa. So I think
closest
this is
we're going to get.
Yeah, exactly. And it is, I mean, I'm going to say it's realistic, having never been to Africa. But anybody I ever talk to, you know, says that's traveled there or whatever, it is so realistic. You know, Joe Rohde had a big hand in this and the whole Animal Kingdom Park. You know, we've all seen the making of the theme park. They used to play it on the resort TV. I mean, they sent all the people that worked on this park over to Africa, and they actually stayed there and went on the Serengeti and out into the, you know, different grasslands and observe the animals. So all that knowledge that they brought back and then integrated it into the park is just, or into that attraction, I should say, is just absolutely amazing. And, you know, again, hearkening back to what I was saying about, you know, they do such a great job with not making it obvious that these animals are in an enclosure. I mean, you see very little fencing. But grasses that are in the foreground that just look like grass to you, they're actually, you know, bars or whatever.
Barriers,
so,
and then they have the food hidden in places that make the animals, like, you don't see it, but it makes them graze and move towards you. And
right.
And the amazing thing is, it's like all the dirt pathways are actually concrete.
But yeah.
They took tires and rolled it through the concrete as they were making it.
Yeah, if you look down when you're going, I mean, we've all done it. You know, they have water there, and you splash through the water. But you're right. You might see a hoof mark or a elephant track or something like that. And you're right. It's all concrete.
Only Disney would take the time to make it look like that. Like, they took the exact Jeep tires off these Jeeps that they were going to put on the Jeeps and run them through the cement as it was curing to make it look real. And nobody else would do it. They just poured a blacktop walkway and been done with it.
Right.
But this is the Disney difference when they do stuff like that.
Right. I mean, it's the same thing with the ride vehicles, the safari vehicles there. All that mud and stuff that's on the bumpers and stuff, that's all painted or coat painted, however you say that, because all that water that's out on the trails and everything is all relatively clean water because there is no mud, because it's all, like you said, it's all, it's just an illusion.
Absolutely. They're all customized Chevy pickup trucks.
Yeah, I heard something about that too. I know the greenies were getting all hot and bothered over the, you know, the, I think, I don't, they don't use diesel engines on them, but they were concerned with the emissions from the, you know, from the engine. So I think they had a couple of demo vehicles or something that they were trying out. I don't know if they were electric or whatever, but being more eco-friendly.
Yeah.
And I guess I got to agree with that, being that those vehicles drive out, you know, in and
in
amongst
the
animals.
In the woods all day long.
Yeah, yeah. So
and the reason I know they're Chevy pickups, because I had the same exact Chevy pickup, because I know the interior with the
right
dashboard and all that.
Right.
I had the same exact truck. That's the only reason I know, GMC or Chevy. But
right,
you're right, the fumes going out through the animals all day long. But they do the same thing in the Serengeti.
Right, right. Yeah, it doesn't mean it's right or wrong. But
no.
I'm sure as technology advances and, you know, they can work that in. I mean, as we mentioned before, Disney's a very forward-thinking company and very conscious of the environment. And if they can do it and make it make sense and the vehicles can last the rigors of, you know, being used all day long, you know, time after time, they'll convert over to something that's a little more environmentally friendly.
So where did Kilimanjaro come in for you?
Number two.
Number
two for me.
Well, it's a must do, guys, next
Absolutely.
Time you're down there. Okay, number two for me, then, was Soarin'.
It had to be.
Yeah, because number one for me was Splash. But Soarin' is incredible. My wife loves Soarin', so she carries on the Soarin', you know, the badge of honor for our family. She's the one that drags me on it every time. I do love it. I love how you feel. I like, you know, I'm a geek. I go to catch a golf ball every single time, and I always will until they change it. But I really am looking forward to them changing the movie. And I wish, of all things, that they could actually make a queue for this ride.
Yeah, yeah, no, I know you mentioned that. We both mentioned it. You're right. It's the most bland queue probably in all of Disney World.
I think it's 100% the worst one. I think the outside, the movie theater chains are better on the teacups.
Right.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Another ride we didn't put in here. Number 19, teacups.
Mad Tea Party. We
had
it.
Yeah, Mad Tea Party. No, okay, well, yeah, we did have that down. I'm sorry.
That's my all right. Bad. That's all right.
But no, but anyway, I think the teacup line is better with the they have that little outside gates, like the horse, the cattle chutes.
Right, right.
I think that's better than what Soarin' is. But Soarin' the ride, the technology, how you feel when you're up there, it don't get – it's one of the – my hat goes off to the guy who created that. He what his erector said at home. I mean, it's an amazing job. I mean, it's a must-do. I mean, out of any of the rides at Epcot, it's one of the top of the list for everybody. Do you disagree?
Oh, no, no. It's my number one. And, again, when this again, I always get this wrong, but this was one of the attractions that came over from Disneyland.
California when they, Adventure.
Yeah, when they added, you know, an attraction to each of the four parks, I think, over at Walt Disney World. Must have been for Disney's 50th, I think, or something like Disneyland's 50th. Remember, they shared an attraction with all the parks?
Absolutely.
And that's when we got Soarin'. I may not have the years right, but anyways, it was a great ad. Personally, I've been on both. I've been on the one out in Disneyland.
Well, the one at Disneyland has a beautiful hangar. It was designed for it. It's like light years ahead because... Even all the scenery inside that hangar is a thousand times. I mean, there's stuff to see. There's airplanes and all kind of other things to see.
Yeah, but I think part of it, and you're totally right, Doug, it is themed much, much better. It's an actual airplane hangar, and the queue does what it's supposed to do, get you ready to take a flight, where in Disney World, it's kind of like you just go through a concrete cattle, you know, run, if you will.
It's high blue and gray walls.
Right.
High blue and silver walls is all.
I mean, they could have done more, but to give credit or not to trash the Imagineers or Disney or whatever. I mean,
it was retrofitted in there.
Exactly. When they built the one out in California, they built the building to house the attraction. When they built the one in Florida, they had an existing building and they shoehorned it in there. I still think they could have done more with the queue. I'm not letting them off the hook totally, but I do
hang
give
a couple more TVs in the out.
Right.
Show me something.
Right, right.
Put park video in there. Show me like what's going on for the day. Put a Stacy J in there. Let me see her top 10 because there's nothing to see in there.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we're all spoiled, or at least I am now. I mean, I've been on Soarin' so many times. If I don't have a fast pass, I ain't waiting more than 20 minutes. That's just how I am. And you may say that's crazy or whatever, but we always get a fast pass for it. We zip through, do it, and we're out. I mean, I the days of waiting in an hour and a half, two-hour queue line to see Soarin' are over, for me anyways.
Me and Brenda, too. That's the reason why I told you. Every time we get the Fast Pass now, since my Disney experience, since Fast Pass Plus, we get the Fast Pass for Soarin' and we go wait in line for Test Track because at least Test Track has a queue.
Right. Yeah, but you know, that's one of the big advantages of Fast Pass Plus now is, you know, if you choose, you know, not correctly, but if you happen to choose Soarin', you don't have those lines. And we all know when... when Soarin' first opened up, it's been popular, right, you know, even still. You know, I'm sure you've done this, Doug, the mad dash from, you know, rope drop at the, you know, at the park.
Day.
And you had to take everybody's pass and go to the, you know, the little
machine
machines there.
And pump it up, yep.
Right. I mean, that was, to me, very stressful because, you know, your day would almost be ruined if you were at Epcot and you got shut out and couldn't get a fast pass for Soarin'. So that stress is all removed with Fast Pass Plus, which is a good thing. But, years ago when we either got to the park late or whatever the situation was, we weren't able to get fast passes. You know, I've done that long, boring wait, and no more. I won't do it for the reasons you said.
No, it gets on my nerves even with Fast Pass sometimes when you have that 15 or Fast Pass is even slow on that ride.
Yeah, you are right. When you get to the last little, you know, where they check your Fast Pass again, even from that point there, you're right. You could have a 15-20 minute wait. Exactly.
It's just a horrible setup for that ride. I mean, right. It's not the end of the world. It's not like busting bricks on a afternoon or hanging sheetrock.
Right. You got it so bad, you're at Disney World, right?
Exactly. But it's like you walk that whole way, and then you end up getting stopped, and if the ride's loading slow or something, you could be in there a while.
Right.
But it is a great attraction. It's 100% must do. It's in the top 10 of my top 10 every single year we do the countdown. So you have to do it.
Yeah, and this is a good attraction in my view. Like I said, I'm somebody that's afraid of heights. But again, psychologically, I realize that, you know, you're, 15, 20 feet off the floor at the most. You know, you're not actually obviously flying. So if somebody has a fear of heights or... You know, you have an elderly person with you or even a smaller kid. I mean, not a little kid, but this is truly a family attraction that everyone could go on. And it's not herky jerky. It's not it doesn't drop fast or anything like that. It's just a very pleasant movie ride where you have the feeling at times that you're either, you know, moving fast or flying or hang gliding or landing on an aircraft carrier, whatever it might be throughout the movie. Almost everybody in the family can enjoy this attraction.
Exactly. And make sure, guys, if you do get on this ride, take off your flip-flops. and make sure, because especially if you're at the top, you could drop your stuff down into where that opening is, and you're never getting it back.
Well,
so be careful with stuff. The reason they're telling you to take the flip-flops off, because you will lose them.
Yeah. No doubt about it. I think they're kind of buckling down on that now that they don't give you the option. They tell you what you got to do. But to that point, and I know we've talked about this before, but, you know, again, we're such Disney snobs now. We always wait. I mean, at the point we've waited 20 minutes, even if we had Fast Pass, we'll wait another rotation through, if you will, of people going in order to get in row one so that you're on the top. I don't think I've ridden in row two or three in 5 years. I bet
we did top and then row three, I think, the last time.
Yeah,
we did one of each.
It's
a must do. You got to go on. I understand it does take away. My wife says they did this wonderful job of designing this ride. Why couldn't they have figured out how to just block the feet?
Right. Well, like I said, if you don't want to have that issue and you get to where they start loading you onto the 1 through 8 or 1 through 10, whatever it is, just say you'd like to wait and be in line one, and the cast member will say step aside, and they'll accommodate your request, and you'll never have that issue.
Well, we've done it before. So let's recap then. You want to count your top 10?
Sure. My top 10 of misfit attractions was number 10, Tower of Terror, number 9, Mission Space, number 8, Dumbo, the Flying Elephant, number 7, Monsters, Inc., Laugh Floor, number 6 was the Liberty Bell Riverboat, number 5 was Cali River Rapids, number 4 was Splash Mountain, 3 Star Tours, 2 Kilimanjaro Safaris, and number 1 was Soarin'.
And my top 10 was Dumbo at number 10, Mission Space was 9, Cali River Rapids 8, Star Tours 7, Monsters, Inc. Laugh Floor 6, Tower of Terror 5, Liberty Bell Liberty Bell Riverboat was number 4, Kilimanjaro Safari 3, Soarin' 2, and how do you do, a doot-doot-doot-doot, Splash Mountain number 1.
So. Awesome list. I mean, you can't go wrong with any of these attractions, and being that they're in the Magic Kingdom makes them even, well, not all of them, but at least your number one attraction was in the Magic Kingdom, makes it even more special because that's most people's favorite park.
It was. It came in number one again in all theme parks. It was Magic Kingdom was number one in the world, in the entire world,
yep.
And then Epcot and Studios and Animal Kingdom came in 5, 6, and 7.
Wow.
So, but anyway, we hope you guys enjoyed this. The reason we did it again is because we wanted to cover, we know people are going down for their summer vacations, and a lot of these rides, like You never hear anybody talk about the Mad Tea Party or Astro Orbiter or Cali River Rapids. You know, and we wanted to talk about all the rides, so that's why we wanted to do all these breakdowns for you to cover them all, so when your trip comes, you'll have a little more information.
Absolutely.
So I thought it was fun. The Land of the Misfit Attractions was a great show. Please, guys, if you could go over to iTunes and give us a review. I don't even care if you said like it. Bye. It just helps us out. We really, really appreciate it.
Yes. Yep.
All right, guys, have a wonderful week. We will talk to you guys next week. And don't forget the WDW Main Street and the All-In WDW Fantasy Draft will be this Wednesday. So stick around and check it out, guys.
Later.
Talk to you next week, then. Bye.
All right.
Well, guys, that's going to be it. Me and Den's going to hop off our stools, pay our tab, and get on out of here. This show is brought to you by our fine sponsors, American Tourist Travel. For all your travel needs, contact American Tourist Travel at 856-227-9200. If you need a nice home in the Central Florida area to go visit Disney, Universal, or any of the fine amusement parks, and you want to stay outside the parks, contact the Elite Vacation Homes at 888-510-6679. They have a home to fit any size family. If you need a scooter in the Central Florida area, contact Scooter Vacations at 855-939-7266. And if you want to rent a vacation club on Disney property, contact David's Vacation Club Rentals at 800-610-5791. And you can also find all of our fine sponsors at our website at www.magicalmainstreetmemories.com. And please, guys, go give us a review over on iTunes. That's going to be it. Thanks again, and thanks for listening. We will see you next time. Bye-bye.